Some graduating seniors were sweating recently at Texas A&M, where their professor accused them of cheating with the artificial intelligence tool ChatGPT. The implications? Failing grades, no diplomas for you. Well, it's now reported the teacher may have been wrong and used an AI cheating detector that can wrongly accuse students. In any event, students and professors are dealing with a technology that is very effective at writing, at spitting out essay ideas, and even taking standardized tests. Let's talk first to a student about all this. Owen Terry is a rising sophomore at Columbia University. He wrote an essay for the Chronicle of Higher Education. It's called, "I'm a Student. You Have No Idea How Much We're Using ChatGPT." Hi, Owen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So briefly on this Texas A&M development, are you surprised that this professor assumed perhaps every student was cheating and then tried to use some kind of AI detector to nab the cheaters?
I wouldn't say I find it surprising. From what I've seen, a lot of professors really have like very minimal understanding of how ChatGPT works and how it's being used. I suppose it's disappointing because it's such a large part of how students are interacting with education, especially this year. But it really hasn't seemed to me, from what I've seen at Columbia, that professors have like a great understanding of how it's working.
Oh, and you write about this, about how pervasive this is being used by students. And it's not necessarily what many of us might think, that you just kind of feed in an essay idea and the AI spits it out and you turn it into your professor. So help us understand how you used it to write an essay on the Iliad that I guess might be impossible to police. Run us through the steps.
Right. So I didn't actually write an essay on the Iliad, but I just ran an experiment on ChatGPT to see how easy it is to write an essay without really having to do much thought yourself. So what I did was I asked the program to first provide me with a list of possible thesis statements. It gave me 10. All of them were, I would say, very good. Like, I would be very comfortable defending any of them.
These are like the basic ideas. You could write an essay about this.
Yeah, exactly. And then from there, I chose my favorite one. I said something along the lines of, give me a very detailed outline bouncing off of this idea, and it gave me one. And essentially what it gave me was it produced all of the thinking that I would have had to produce. And if I were to actually write the essay, my job would have simply been to just fill in the gaps. Like, I would take the ideas it gave me, I would put them into nice-sounding words. And from a reader's perspective, nobody would be able to tell because it would all be written in my own words.
So it gives you the idea or choices of the idea, and then you say, okay, now come back and give me the outline, the 5 or the 10 paragraphs or whatever. So it is kind of connect the dots is what ChatGPT lets you do?
Yeah, exactly. And then for things that aren't literature, you can have it do even more. For that essay in particular, I couldn't, because the next step would have been to identify quotes from the book. And when you ask it for quotes, it'll make things up. So that doesn't work. But for other sorts of essays, you could even just have it, like, you could take each part of the outline and say, all right, flesh this out, turn this into something that can actually go into the paper. And it'll produce something maybe not like final draft worthy, but good enough where you don't even have to do any of the original writing yourself. Your job would just be to edit like a mediocre essay and turn it into something that sounds nicer.
Put it in your own words. It sounds like this would be impossible to police.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Do professors, parents, grown-ups know how pervasive this is among college students, you think?
I don't want to overgeneralize, but the impression I'm getting is that it's not. So, for example, in a philosophy class I was taking, we had a take-home assignment where essentially it was just a bunch of short answer questions. And a few days before it was due, we got an email from the professor saying that our answers would be run through in AI detection software, so don't use AI. And first of all, I have my doubts about whether any of those things work. But even if you suppose they do, it's just so easy to have the AI give you the answers and then just rewrite them. Things like this, where professors are threatening to use AI detection programs, regardless of whether they work or not, I think that demonstrates a lack of understanding of the ways in which people are using it and how it can be used.
Oh, and in your essay, you make a point that others are making, that this technology is here, and perhaps we need to find a way to embrace it somehow rather than, you know, stuff it back into the box from which it came. Embrace how, you think?
I really don't know. I'm glad that that's not my job to figure out how to deal with it. One successful strategy that I've seen, there's a required literature seminar for all first years at my college. It's a small seminar, so there's enough time to do this. The professor has like an individual relationship with each student. So the professor had each student individually come in for, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes and just talk to them about one of the books that they read that semester.
Oh, so an oral exam or something.
Yeah, exactly. But then that doesn't generalize to larger classes. Like, you can't have a lecture hall of 500 students come in one at a time.
Yeah.
For that sort of thing.
Owen Terry would love to stay in touch with you as this continues to evolve. Owen is a rising sophomore at Columbia University. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to Professor Inara Scott, Associate Dean for Teaching and Learning Excellence at the Oregon State University College of Business. And she wrote a piece entitled, ChatGPT is Causing an Education Crisis. It's for Inside Higher Education. Professor, welcome to you.
Well, hello, and I'm happy to be here.
Your thoughts on hearing Owen just now?
Yeah, I think Owen is a great example of an incredibly motivated, really intelligent student. And I'm delighted at the way that he described his process, because the process that he describes is actually not a terrible learning process in some ways. So I think these tools can be really actually very helpful in learning and helpful in the classroom. We just have to be able to think through really deeply about how we're using them and then where we don't use them.
Well, how do you still try to foster critical thinking? That is, if step one is think of the idea, the initial idea for your paper all by yourself. If ChatGPT is going to do that and provide kind of training wheels, that seems to be a problem.
Right. And so I think what we really need to do, first of all, we absolutely need to teach our students to use these tools, because their jobs are all going to be informed by AI, which is developing at an incredibly rapid rate. And then we really have to focus on exactly what you said, which is, what are the critical thinking tools? What are the pieces of human thinking and human skills that we need to preserve? And in some cases, it may be that we need to create AI-free zones. So maybe we do need to create a space for students to brainstorm or innovate with no devices. And then maybe we need to create some spaces where they can bounce ideas off of AI. One other tool that we've used, and I've had some faculty in the College of Business use that have been really interesting, is students will record the way that they interact. So they'll actually keep a log of the chats that they have, and then they'll show that to their professors. And I think Owen is underestimating the amount of thinking sometimes that he had to do there when he said, I looked at the potential thesis questions or statements, and then I picked from those which I could defend. Well, he's got to have a base of knowledge to be able to do that. So for the faculty member, that can potentially be a different type of assessment tool to be able to see where the student's learning is in that process. Yeah.
And finally, Owen, can we bring you back in? Do you have any thoughts?
I mean, I definitely agree that there's still some thinking to be done in the example I gave. I think perhaps when people see that example, they don't quite understand how easy it was for me to get that outline. It took me literally a minute, and I didn't have to like think hardly at all. Like, I really could have chosen one of those 10 thesis statements at random, and I think it would have been fine. It's certainly true that there's like, it's not just like a trivial task to go from that outline to a completed paper, but I think certainly it's less work than doing it without AI at all.
Yeah.
I talk to people every day who really want to help students be successful, and they're desperately trying to figure out how to manage this technology, which is changing the way that we teach at an incredibly rapid rate. It's not just about catching cheating. It's really about how do we empower students and figure out ways to preserve human thinking in the midst of this enormous educational change.
That's Inara Scott, business professor at Oregon State University. And we also talked to Owen Terry, rising sophomore at Columbia University, about the use of ChatGPT. Thanks to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.